98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Wichita's number one talk.
Good morning, 7 o'clock. This is the KNSS Morning News with Steve and Ted. I'm Steve McIntosh. New information on the fatal shooting of 5 men in South Wichita. We have the story.
Progress reported fighting a major wildfire in California. I'm Ted Woodward. Those details just ahead.
Police have not released the names of the 5 men shot and killed in South Wichita Sunday, only saying that they are all from Wichita. The men range in age from 39 to 68, and they believe one of the men shot the other 4 and then shot himself. The victims were found in homes on Laura and Santa Fe streets.
Firefighters in California making some progress containing the mountain fire. It's still spreading, though, and causing damage. Andrew Dowd, a spokesman for the Ventura County Fire Department.
Currently, we have identified 192 structures that have been destroyed and 82 that have been damaged by this wildfire.
This fire has burned more than 21,000 acres. It's 41% contained. So far, no word on deaths nor injuries.
We will likely learn today if the New York State hush money verdict against President-elect Donald Trump will stand or be thrown out.
Judge Juan Merchan said today is when he will decide if President-elect Trump's sentencing on 34 felony counts of falsifying business records stays on track for November 26th, or does a Supreme Court immunity ruling covering acts while president mean the conviction will be thrown out or reversed on appeal. The president-elect denies any relationship with adult film actress Stormy Daniels. Payments made to her came before his first election, but repayments to ex-lawyer Michael Cohen were at times discussed in the Oval Office. New York prosecutors say the conviction covers personal conduct, for which President-elect Trump is not immune. Gernal Scott, Fox News.
And President-elect Trump expected to name Florida Senator Marco Rubio as his Secretary of State. Fox's Aisha Hazni is in West Palm Beach, Florida, with more about the president-elect's cabinet picks.
It comes as Florida Congressman and China hawk Mike Waltz has been named as White House National Security Advisor. He was a huge surrogate for Trump on the trail. And former New York Congressman Lee Zeldin heads the EPA, and Congresswoman Elise Stefanik has been tapped to be the next U.S. ambassador to the U.N. Former Senior Advisor Stephen Miller has been named Deputy Chief of Staff, and former Acting ICE Director Tom Homan taking this newly created role of border czar and vowing to pursue all of Trump's policies, including that mass deportation plan.
Robert F. Kennedy Jr. will possibly hold roles in both the Department of Health and Human Services and the Department of Agriculture, according to the president-elect.
KNSS News Time now, 7:04, 4 minutes past 7 o'clock.
Got a marquee basketball matchup tonight for the Jayhawks, and I got a good Shocker basketball birthday today, too. We'll have all that coming up in sports.
Haiti's international airport was shut down after gangs opened fire at a commercial flight landing there. That story and more coming up on the KNSS Morning News. The KNSS Morning News now, 7:08. 8 minutes past 7 o'clock. Haiti's international airport was shut down after gangs opened fire at a commercial flight landing at Port-au-Prince. The shooting Monday prompted some airlines to temporarily suspend operations as the country swore in a new interim prime minister. In other parts of Haiti's capital, firefights between gangs and police broke out.
Candidates vying to be the next Senate leader will make their pitch directly to fellow senators.
Republicans will elect their first new Senate leader since 2007, with current minority leader Mitch McConnell stepping down. Utah Republican Senator Mike Lee will host the candidates for a forum before Wednesday's elections. Current whip and number two, John Thune, is facing off against Texas Senator John Cornyn and Florida's Rick Scott. President-elect Trump has said he wants whoever takes over to support what's called recess appointments, which allows for the president to confirm cabinet members without Senate approval. In Washington, Ryan Schmelz, Fox News.
The man who was found guilty in Indiana for the 2017 murders of 2 teen girls now awaits sentencing.
Jurors in Delphi, Indiana, convicting 52-year-old Richard Allen of 2 counts of murder and 2 additional counts of murder while committing or attempting to commit kidnapping. The verdict in the killings of 13-year-old Abby Williams and 14-year-old Liberty German, whose bodies were found a day after they vanished in 2017 during a hike. A its reaction outside the courthouse when the verdict came down. Allen is scheduled to be sentenced late next month and faces 130 years in prison. Jeff Manasso, Fox News.
The Supreme Court will consider a unique gun possession case today. This involves a crime family associate's failed murder plot.
Salvatore Delegati, an associate of the Genovese crime family, was convicted of attempted murder in aid of racketeering and of possessing a firearm to further a violent crime. He was accused of hiring Crips gang members to kill a man described as a neighborhood bully who'd been stealing from a local gas station Delegati visited often. Prosecutors said he provided the gang members a revolver. Delegati, also known as Fat Sal, was convicted, and the gun charge added 5 years to his sentence. His attorneys argued the gun crime wasn't in and of itself a crime of violence. While a federal appeals court upheld the conviction, Delegati's team argues a prior Supreme Court ruling in a Virginia robbery case limited gun enhancements. Jessica Rosenthal, Fox News.
KNSS News Time now, 7:10, 10 minutes past 7 o'clock.
Cordell and Cordell traffic cameras showing things still looking pretty good on the Wichita Road Rise right now. I do see some heavier traffic volumes. Just not really seeing it slowing anything down just yet. But, yeah, some heavier traffic volumes out there on the highways. Some fairly heavy traffic right now in the Wichita area and the Mount Vernon and Southeast Boulevard area. Just some heavy traffic there as well as around Hillside. George Washington Boulevard traffic update from 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. I'm Jad Chambers.
Now the KSN Storm Tracker 3 forecast with Kansas Today meteorologist Ronnell Williams. Good morning, Ronnell.
Hey, good morning, Steve and Ted. How you guys doing?
Doing great.
Good. How are you?
Why haven't we had some terrific weather for November?
Yeah.
My goodness. Beautiful weather.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah, not too bad on, you know, on this side, but yeah, officially getting up to 70 degrees yesterday. You know, our record highs still around the 80s for this time of year. So we didn't break any records or anything like that, but yeah, it was definitely a nice start to the new week. And today, similar, at least compared to how it's going to feel, going with a high of 65 degrees today. Now, even though skies are in pretty good shape right now, you're going to gradually notice more clouds moving in. Winds are going to be stronger out of the southeast at 10 to 25 miles an hour. So we're talking about more wind, gradually seeing more cloud cover. Those will be two signals that we have another system on the way. Only going with a small 10% chance of rain today. I see much of our Tuesday, at least while we have daylight. It does look like things are going to be pretty dry, but then tonight, after the sun goes down, some showers, a few rumbles of thunder are going to be likely. Those should move out by the time a lot of us kickstart our day tomorrow, about 24 hours from now. So window of opportunity for rainfall, it's going to be brief, but at least we do have more on the way. Starting off tomorrow at 49 degrees before we get back up to a high of 60. So we are going to cool off a bit compared to today and yesterday, but then we're going to warm right back up from there as we gradually see sunshine return. Thursday, mostly sunny skies, back up to 63 degrees, 65 Friday, and then close to 70 on Saturday with a high of 68. Now, after that, temperature is going to start to drop back down into the lower 60s. Sunday, Monday, rain chance is going to gradually go back up too. With the better chance, it looks like that's going to fall on next Monday with mainly cloudy skies. Right now, we're at 48 degrees. Skies yielding just a little bit of cloud cover. So a nice bright start to the day with a east breeze at 10 miles an hour.
Then I've been observing weather in this part of the world for well over 50 years. And I'll tell you, a pattern that I've seen in my mind is that we usually have some terrific weather right up till about Thanksgiving. And then Thanksgiving weekend, the next weekend, it'll turn off colder. So we'll see what happens this time, huh?
Yeah, we'll see when the bottom drops out.
Yeah, all right. All right, thank you, Ronnell. That's the KSN Storm Tracker 3 forecast with Kansas Today meteorologist Ronnell Williams. Steve, 10 in the morning, yesterday's high 70, as Ronnell said. Normal high for the date, 59. So we're way above.
Yeah, we're way warmer than normal.
So we go back to 1911 for a date in weather history, one day after invading the northern and central plains with what many considered the most dangerous Arctic outbreak on record. The infamous Great Blue Norther tightened its grip on Kansas with single-digit temperatures. Wichita's low of 9 degrees marked the city's earliest autumn occurrence of a single-degree temperature. So that was in 1911. We're not going to have that today.
I hope. Want to deal with that?
Forecast doesn't have that in it. All right, let's see. November 12th. On this date in 1948, former Japanese Premier Hideki Tojo and several other World War II Japanese leaders were sentenced to death by a war crimes tribunal. A lot of people were terribly mistreated. Not only our people, our military people, but civilians in different places in the Philippines and Shanghai, Nanking, and they paid for it. Those leaders paid for it, military leaders.
Do you know where that tribunal took place? I mean, I know.
Oh, my goodness.
I always think about the Germans and Nuremberg and all those trials. Where did the Japanese trials take place?
I think it was in Japan. Maybe.
Really? Wow.
Might have been. Okay. Well, let's do some research. We'll find out. Got a birthday today for you, Ted. Al Michaels is 80 today.
Oh, legend.
Sportscaster, television play-by-play sportscaster for Thursday Night Football on Amazon Prime Video now. And he is an emeritus role for NBC Sports. Guy's been around a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Did he do Monday Night Football?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
He's done just about everything. Still, of course, the iconic call in the 1980 Winter Olympics.
Yeah, that's the one.
It will live forever and ever and ever. Do you believe in miracles?
Yeah. Al Michaels. Jed, what do you got? Did you find out something?
Yeah. War crimes tribunals took place in Tokyo.
Really? Wow. Well, all right. Then that was way back when, 1948. Okay. Now, according to a poll out this week, the average Gen Zer checks their phone 6 times during a TV show. That's per episode. And it's not just young people. Millennials check their phone 5 to 6 times. Gen X, 4 to 5. And I don't know what these generations are, but baby boomers, that's me, only 3 times.
Oh, only 3. Yeah.
And I basically will tell you 0 for me.
That would be a 1 for me, because usually there's an actor or somebody. I'm like, what else was that person in? And I look up something, but that's the only reason.
That's what I do, as reference.
Like, I've seen that person in something. Yeah.
Most people said that if they're watching a show or movie at home, they're probably using their phone at the same time. 78% of young people said they usually are. Even 41% of baby boomers said yes. People were asked how long they can watch something before they get bored and want to multitask. For movies, 15 minutes and 42 seconds.
Yeah, the attention span for a movie.
For shows,
why isn't there?
Shows, 14 minutes, 36 seconds.
Oof.
Podcasts, 9 minutes and 12 seconds. And audiobooks, 8 minutes and 18 seconds. So I guess
podcasts I use while I'm doing other things.
Yeah, you could.
That's what a lot of people do. Okay. Yeah. It's kind of the other way around.
Well, of course, we bucked that trend because we got people listening for the whole 3 hours.
Yeah.
6 to 9, baby.
They don't want to miss a single second.
No.
Of Stephen
Witty repartee.
And who can blame them?
Snappy patter
and repartee. And, yeah. And then there's also sports. 7:17 time for sports with Ted Woodward. Basically, it's the top sportscast on radio in Kansas. As we've known that for years. Because Ted shares a lot of information.
Well,
Ted,
I try.
Yeah.
Hey, we got a premier college men's basketball matchup tonight in the Champions Classic. As they always match up these premier programs. Number 1 ranked Kansas taking on Michigan State. This game is in Atlanta. Kicking off, tipping off at 5:30 p.m. on ESPN. Both teams are 2-0. Spartans and the Jayhawks going to this one. Kansas is a 6.5-point favorite going up against Sparty tonight in the Champions Classic. College men's basketball last night in Columbia, Missouri beat Eastern Washington 84-77, and the big star from Missouri was a guy from Mays, Caleb Grill.
Ooh.
He went off 8-for-10 from 3-point range.
Wow.
He made a career high of 33 points. He had 8 3-pointers, also had 9 rebounds. Missouri won that game 84-77. Caleb Grill, the big star from Mays. Missouri, back-to-back wins, now 2-1 on the season. Women's basketball. Kansas women beat Sam Houston State 66-51. KU ladies are off to a 2-0 start. Brittany Harshaw, the sophomore from Andover Central, she had career highs of 14 points and 9 rebounds. 10 wins in a row for the KU ladies at Allen Fieldhouse. They're off to a 2-0 start. The KU women's soccer team is going to the NCAA tournament. They got an automatic bid as champions of the Big 12 tournament. KU will play at St. Louis in the opening round of the NCAA tournament. That game will be Friday night. We'll be talking Chiefs football tonight. It's the weekly edition of the Chiefs Kingdom Show, hosted by the play-by-play voice of the Chiefs, Mitch Holtus. We'll be at 6 o'clock tonight over on 97.5 and 1240 KFH. Chiefs at Buffalo on Sunday afternoon. You'll hear that game here on KNSS. The top two teams in the conference.
Oh,
yeah.
That's good.
Of course, they played twice last year. Yeah. Chiefs lost to them in the regular season and then beat them in the playoffs. And, of course, the Chiefs are coming off that thrilling blocked field goal win over the Broncos on Sunday. Chiefs are still the top team in the league, undefeated at 9-0. A lot to talk about tonight on the weekly edition of the Chiefs Kingdom Show. 6 o'clock tonight over on KFH. Pro basketball in the NBA. The Brooklyn Nets win on the road in New Orleans. Beat the Pelicans 107-105. Coming off the bench for Brooklyn as the sixth man, former Kansas Jayhawk Jalen Wilson. 10 points, couple of assists. Perfect 3-for-3 at the free throw line. The Nets have won 4 of their last 7. And a big shocker birthday today. Gene Wiley celebrating a birthday today.
I remember
Shocker
him.
Basketball star. Yeah. He is 86 years old today. Big star for the Shockers. 6'10", center. Played for the Shockers in the late 50s into the early 60s. Born in Amarillo, Texas. First team All-Missouri Valley Conference his senior year. Still holds the Wichita State record for blocked shots in one game. 15. And that wasn't 15 against Bethel College. That was 15 blocked shots on the road at Purdue.
Was he a lefty?
Ooh, you got me there.
I don't know. I can't remember. Oh, go ahead. 6'10".
He recorded 4 triple-doubles in his college career, all of them involving double-digit blocked shots.
There you go.
He had 26 rebounds in one game against Bradley. Second-round draft pick by the Los Angeles Lakers. Played 4 years with the Lakers. 3 of those 4 years, they went to the NBA Finals. Lost every time to the Celtics. As a rookie with the Lakers in 1963, he averaged 11 rebounds a game in the playoffs. In 1965 with the Lakers, he averaged 14 rebounds a game in the playoffs, including averaging 18 rebounds per game in the finals against the Celtics.
Wow.
Celtics couldn't keep him off the boards.
Yeah.
And in Game 3 of that series, he had 28 rebounds in Game 3 against the Celtics. How about that? The great Shocker, the big Shocker, the 6'10" center, Gene Wiley. It's his birthday. He is 86 today.
We got him out of Amarillo. About the same time, we were recruiting a couple of guys out of Dallas-Fort Worth area. Stalvers and Bowman. So,
2 more Miller Shocker
went,
legends.
Ralph Miller went down there and got some good
players. Didn't he?
Yeah.
Wow.
All right. Steven.
Good morning, Steve McIntosh, Ted Woodward, 7:30 here on this Tuesday morning. 48 degrees. President Biden meets with a pair of foreign counterparts today.
President Biden welcomes Israeli President Isaac Herzog this morning amid the ongoing wars in Gaza and Lebanon and a stall in ceasefire talks between Israel, Hamas, and Hezbollah. Herzog is also expected to meet with Republican lawmakers during his visit, including New York Congresswoman Elise Stefanik, who President-elect Trump is nominating for his ambassador to the UN. In the afternoon, President Biden meets with Indonesian President Prabowo Subianto, marking 75 years of U.S.-Indonesian relations. In Washington, Jared Halpern, Fox News.
A 62-year-old man was hospitalized after his car smashed into the garage door of a home in Derby yesterday afternoon, 400 block of North Georgie. The man's condition described as potentially critical. There were people inside the home. No one was injured.
Wichita's new homeless shelter is about to open at the former Park Elementary School building on North Main. Mayor Lily Wu tells KNSS News Humankind Ministries will operate the shelter for the start.
The contract with Humankind ends on March 31st, but beyond that, the Multi-Agency Center, or MAC, will take over. So we will, in Wichita, have a 24/7 shelter starting November 28th.
Wu commented during Mondays with the mayor on the Steve and Ted of the Morning Show on KNSS.
Israel says it's mostly met the United States deadline to get more aid into Gaza and however, several aid groups disagree.
A letter signed by the U.S. Secretaries of State and Defense gave Israel 30 days to surge more food and medical supplies into northern Gaza, hanging over the demand, a threat to limit American military support. Israel says it's done most of what was asked as the time limit expires, adding entrances to Gaza, expanding the humanitarian zone, and increasing security. But 8 international humanitarian groups say Israel has failed to meet 15 of the 19 demands. The U.S. government's assessment has yet to be revealed. Jonathan Savage, Fox News.
Police have arrested a naked man living in a crawl space beneath an elderly woman's Los Angeles home.
Police believe the 27-year-old may have been living underneath the house for 6 months. Cops say when they tried to remove him, he wouldn't budge. The eviction process taking hours. Police finally tossing several volleys of tear gas under the house. The homeowner says she heard strange noises, but assumed it was a wild animal, not a wild man. Gary Baumgarten, Fox News.
Now the forecast with meteorologist Ron L. Williams.
You're going to notice more clouds in our sky as we go through our Tuesday. Only a 10% chance of showers, likely staying pretty dry throughout much of the day with another mild high of 65 degrees. Winds are going to be stronger, too, out of the southeast at 10 to 25 miles an hour. Next rain chance tonight. With your Storm Track 3 forecast, I'm meteorologist Rana Williams.
And right now we have a partly cloudy sky, east wind at 10 miles per hour. 48 degrees at Wichita's Severe Weather Station, 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. 7:33, Steve at 10 in the morning, and it's time for our weekly chat with Sedgwick County Commission Chair Ryan Beatty. Good morning, sir.
Steve and Ted, good morning. Great to be with you.
Good. Hello. Good to have you with us now. I'd like to get your opinion of what happened in that election. You know, I'm not necessarily concerned with county, but the presidential election seems like the country kind of surprises, at least it surprised me with the way that went. As you know, it was supposed to be a toss-up, but it got kind of one-sided on the Republican side there.
Yeah, pretty interesting. I'll tell you that I wasn't surprised at the result. I was surprised at the margin of victory. And that wasn't my expectation, wasn't based on polling or anything like that. In fact, I think we've learned over the last few cycles that, you know, polling sometimes isn't as reliable as we would think. But anecdotally, when you would talk to people and you would hear about what their concerns were and where their head was at, I talked to two people the last week of the leading up to the election, both of them, neither of them had voted for President Trump in the previous two elections, but both of them were voting for him in this election. And I asked why. One of the reasons was a small business owner and just felt like the inflation and just the mood of the economy was burdensome and was going to be troubling for their business. The other person loved the fact that he had invited Bobby Kennedy to the table. And his quote was, you know, we finally have someone that's going to take on Big Pharma, which I just found was intriguing. And I just listened and try to learn. But I was surprised at the margin, particularly in those six swing states. But here we are. We're going to have a President Trump here in just a few months.
All right. And how about yesterday, Veterans Day? Talk about that a little bit. Yeah. I know you were doing something, weren't you?
Yeah, we were out running around and spent a little time in a few of the communities that are in my district. And just to be able to honor and to pull back, draw back, and just give honor to those that that sacrifice their time, their effort, their energy, their livelihoods in many regards to serve in our armed forces. The American dream is made possible because of the service of the American soldier. And if you go all the way back to the inception of this country, men and women have taken a stand and served for liberty and served for what it means to be an American. And it is wholly appropriate and necessary for us to draw back at least once a year and just give honor. We honor our veterans every day, but yesterday is a special day. And I know there were a lot of ceremonies and a lot of events around the community. And it was really cool to watch in the news and watch on social media the way we paid homage to our veterans.
You know, and I'm a person who lived through the Vietnam era. And I didn't serve. Wasn't drafted. I didn't volunteer. But I always felt like people say, well, the military got it. We weren't anti-military. We were anti what the government was doing while we were there. And it came out that we didn't support the troops. Well, most people did. We understood that they were doing their best. They were doing what we asked them to do, right? As a country.
And that is the point, is over and over and over again throughout the history of this country, people have signed up and they've done, whether they agreed or disagreed, whether they felt it was right or wrong, they served, many of them in combat. And I think that's kind of the mood and the pulse of where the country's at today is, you know, if you look around the world and all the volatility and all the nervous energy that the world has right now, we see what's going on in Ukraine, we see what's going on in Israel and the Middle East. Wars and rumors of war all across the world. And I think what people are really looking for today is just this element of peace. Just someone that can bring a calm to the waters and see if we can find a sustainable peace in all these really tumultuous parts of the world.
I confess to you that I didn't have time to research whether you're even going to have a meeting tomorrow. Is that bad? I didn't do any research at all.
I don't think it's bad at all. That's why I'm here. I'm here to let you know that we are meeting tomorrow, and we're talking elephants tomorrow.
Well, the only thing I can say is that Ted ate my homework, so there you go.
There you go. I got a 10-year-old son, and he's got excuses like that sometimes, too. But
oh, yeah.
No, we're meeting tomorrow. Yep.
Let's talk about elephants. Talk about elephants, sir. Go ahead.
Well, we've been talking about elephants a lot at Sedgwick County. Obviously, we have the Sedgwick County Zoo, which is one of the most popular outdoor tourist sites in the entire state of Kansas. We're incredibly proud of our zoo. And as has been reported, we have 5 baby elephants coming. And this is a significant deal. These are the first African elephants that will be born in the state of Kansas. We anticipated 1 or 2. We had no. We're surprised to know that we have 5 coming. So we've got to expand the barn. The elephant barn's got to be expanded to meet the needs of the expanding elephant program. This has been a rather, I wouldn't say it's contentious, but there's a lot of people, just because of the mood of property taxes and the mood of taxation and the cost of government, I've actually fielded a lot of questions on these, and it gave me an opportunity to talk. We have one of the items tomorrow on the agenda is about a grant application for just about $4.9 million for the U.S. Department of Interior. And what this will do is allow us with a match, a local government match of 50%, so roughly $2.5 million, we'll be able to apply for a grant that will help us to build this elephant barn expansion, about a 20,000 square foot expansion. The Zoological Society is going to try to raise roughly $10 million total. We're going to have a question on the agenda tomorrow is what part of that do we want to do as the county, Sedgwick County? How much do we want to participate? So we're talking elephants tomorrow. We're proud of our zoo. We want to support our zoo, and we want to make sure that the zoo is positioned to have success long into the future.
You mentioned one of the top visitor attractions. It is the top in the entire state. And people say, well, maybe we should support it just about as well as we can. And even though it can be expensive to house elephants, I know when my in-laws come in, never mind.
Goodness.
It's different.
Well, it's probably not going to be $10 million, but I could agree. Sometimes the in-laws come in and it is expensive. No, you're right. When we talk about quality of life in Sedgwick County, obviously, in my view, it's always about, hey, what's public safety like? What's the quality of our roads? What's the quality of our schools? But we also got to talk about amenities. We got to talk about what are the things that we're proud of, our community assets. Things like Exploration Place, Interest Bank Arena, and Sedgwick County Zoo. Those are 3 assets of Sedgwick County government that we're really, really proud of. So we have 112 employees that work at the zoo from Sedgwick County's payroll. We have the taxpayer-owned 78 assets, infrastructure pieces at Sedgwick County Zoo, and over 3,000 animals. And again, this is about creating an attraction and maintaining an attraction that is top of the line and top class. So I've been on record of saying, hey, I don't like that property taxes support some of these quality of life amenities. That's also on the agenda tomorrow, is discussing how we get these over to sales tax instead of property taxes. But while we have these assets, while they're under the stewardship of Sedgwick County government, we have to make sure we do them well, and it's something that we're proud of in Sedgwick County. So that'll be the discussion tomorrow. Baby elephants are coming in Sedgwick County.
Ted, anything?
Well, going back to the election, I was going to ask you, does the Board of Sedgwick County Commissioners have any official duties when it comes to the counting or the canvassing coming up?
You bet.
Great question. This Thursday, we'll actually walk through the election results, and we are the Sedgwick County Board of County Commissioners, also serves as the Board of Canvassers. So we canvass the election and certify the election for Sedgwick County. It's quite a process. We will go through all of the ballots that may be in question, maybe because of postmarked late, or maybe because of no signature or things of that sort. We'll go through them all, and we'll make decisions on whether we count or not count those ballots based on the recommendations of our election commissioner, who, by the way, let me just say briefly, I am so proud of our election office, the election staff, the leadership of Laura Rainwater, election commissioner, and the nearly 950, I believe, poll workers that served in this big election. They were remarkable. They ran a safe, efficient election with low wait times for the size of election that we had, very low wait times comparative to other years. So I'm just proud and grateful that they were able to serve and do their civic duty in a way that made it safe and efficient to have this election.
All right. And I'm not going to ask you any questions about sports except this one. Did you ever block a kick in your life?
Never. Now I got kicked a lot in my life, but I never blocked a kick.
Well, there you go.
But how cool was that? This is a miracle team, man. I'm telling you, 9-0 now. All the games have been close. They found ways to win, and that's what veteran teams do. That's what championship DNA looks like, is when the game's on the line, you find a way to win. And over again, we've seen it this year. And should be fun as we continue to march in this NFL season.
Yeah,
you've been kicked in your life, and that was David Dennis kicking you last week.
Kicking you under the table there.
Yeah, he didn't like my vote, so he kicked me under the desk.
Oh, man.
I did it.
Well, you'll have to block that one. All right. Thank you, sir. Have a good meeting, and we'll talk with you again next week. Sedgwick County Commission Chair Ryan Beatty. All right, an insurance company disputes a $2 million tax lien. That's part of the Wichita Business Journal update. Coming your way in just a few minutes with Steve and Ted on KNSS. Steve and Ted in the morning, KNSS, 7:46 on this Tuesday morning. Three big things. President-elect Trump choosing his cabinet. Expected to name Marco Rubio Secretary of State.
Two.
Double fatal crash in South Wichita on the turnpike. Began when a truck hit a deer.
One.
Police say all five shooting victims in South Wichita were men and all were from Wichita. No names released. Three big things, Steve and Ted on KNSS.
Those Cordell and Cordell traffic cameras showing that. And we have very slow traffic southbound on I-135 approaching the road construction at K-254 and K-96. And some slowdown now northbound on I-235 in that same area. It's fairly heavy traffic on 53rd Street North, right there by the entrance to I-135 as well. Traffic update from 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. I'm Jad Chambers.
Sunny today with a high of 66 degrees, 70% chance for rain tonight. The overnight low 51. Then on Wednesday, more sun. Mostly sunny. Tomorrow's high, 59 degrees. Now partly cloudy, east wind at 10 miles per hour, 48 degrees at Wichita Severe Weather Station, 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Meta is dodging several lawsuits brought over mental health concerns for kids who use its platforms.
Fox on Tech.
A judge recently clears Meta's CEO of responsibility over claims its social media sites harm children. A federal judge says Mark Zuckerberg cannot be personally liable in 25 suits claiming Meta's social media platforms are too addictive for young users. The order from the judge rejects claims that Zuckerberg called for his company to hide mental health risk concerns for children who use Facebook and Instagram. The judge says there's a lack of evidence that shows Zuckerberg was at fault, adding that control of corporate activity alone is insufficient to establish liability. The plaintiffs filed the lawsuits under the laws of 13 different states, including Arizona, Colorado, Connecticut, Georgia, Maryland, New York, North Carolina, Ohio, Pennsylvania, South Carolina, Texas, Virginia, and Wisconsin. The 25 lawsuits weren't exclusive to just Meta. They have also focused on Google, TikTok, and Snapchat, all over media addiction. There are also other similar cases being brought by several states against Meta. With Fox on Tech, Eamon Dignam, Fox News.
Another record-breaking day on Wall Street Monday.
The major averages ending higher with record closes across the board. The Dow finishing above the 44,000 level for the first time ever, while the S&P 500 finished above 6,000 for the first time as well. Tech stocks were the worst performers, and the price of Bitcoin surged nearly $87,000 to an all-time high, extending last week's gains. President-elect Trump is viewed as crypto-friendly. The Dow winners today, Goldman Sachs, American Express, and Salesforce. The Dow decliners, Apple, Microsoft, and NVIDIA. The Dow rising 304 points for its 43rd record close of the year. The Nasdaq up 12 for its 32nd record close of the year. S&P 500 up 6 for its 51st record close of the year. Hillary Barsky, Fox News.
And local business news from the Wichita Business Journal. IMA Financial in Wichita appears to owe more than $2 million in back taxes to the federal government. Though the company says those taxes were, quote, paid in a timely fashion, and the lien is a result of COVID-related backlog at the Internal Revenue Service. The IRS filed a federal tax lien on November 4th against the Denver-based insurance brokerage with the Sedgwick County Register of Deeds Office, according to public records. The company has more than $2.1 million in unpaid federal taxes dating back to the fall of 2020, according to the lien document, with the kind of tax owed as a 941. Employers use that form 941 to report income taxes, Social Security tax, or Medicare tax withheld from employees' paychecks, as well as paying the employer's portion of the Social Security or Medicare, according to the IRS.
Boeing and Avia Solutions Group, the world's largest ACMI, that's aircraft crew maintenance insurance provider, today announced its first order with the company for 40 737-8s, with the potential to order 40 more later. Avia Solutions Group has 11 air operator certificates, including Avion Express, SmartLynx, ClassJet, Air Explorer, BBN, Ascend Airways, and SkyTrans, among others. These AOCs operate year-round in over 60 countries on behalf of various scheduled airlines and tour operators. Part of the 737, of course, is manufactured at Spirit AeroSystems in Wichita. Mm-hmm. So a big order there.
Yeah.
Another big order for Boeing. And that's business news this morning, courtesy of the Wichita Business Journal. Elon Musk's super PAC spent around $200 million to help elect Donald Trump. Most of that money came from Musk himself, and that's according to a person familiar with the group's spending who wasn't authorized to disclose the figure publicly and spoke on condition of anonymity. So there you go. Elon with the money coming in.
Now. Stephen Taylor. No surprise. I mean, both sides spent billions of dollars trying to get elected.
A ton of money. Mm-hmm. We've got coming up at the top of the hour here, of course, at about 8:10, we'll check in with Fox News Radio's Tanya J. Powers. She will give us an update on how that cabinet selection is going for President-elect Trump as he's trying to get the people involved to operate the cabinet.
Yeah, he's putting his team together.
Putting the team together. And we'll talk with Tanya a little bit later on this morning. All right, let's see. A good conversation, as always, with Ryan Beatty. And I had been thinking, just take you inside this, but I'd been thinking about the elephant, or what was the thing you brought up there? The elephants?
No, the board of Sedgwick County Commissioners.
I'd been thinking about that on the way to work this morning. I'm thinking, I need to have to ask him about it. Then we go in there and it slipped my mind. So I'm thank you for jumping in there. Yeah. Well, that helps when there's two people instead of, it's like you got two brains instead of one half. So there you go.
Oh, yeah. We try to
work
best
together and give good questions and good answers. That's what Steve and Ted do. This is Steve and Ted show number 6802.
6802 and counting.
Going back to January of 1998, the last century.
You know, my sister, just out of the blue, she goes, I don't know if I trust Steve's count on your show. I said, why not? I said, he keeps track of that every day. I said, I think that tally is pretty accurate. Well, and you've been doing it for 6,800 work days in a row.
I'll tell you what, if there was a gap, you know, if one day it was 6,800 and the next day I said, well, it's 9,000, you would know it. I mean,
your count's pretty darn accurate.
Been pretty
compulsive
about it over the past few years. So.
I know.
There you go.
And I'm glad you do keep track of that stuff.
I don't know why, but it's
good to keep a record of what we've been doing on a daily basis for 28 years.
Yeah, I guess so. Today, by the way, is National French Dip Day.
Oh, now you got me now.
Served up hot, tender slices
of my favorite meals ever.
On a French roll, makes a delicious sandwich. Sometimes cheese is added. Do you add cheese?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
The key ingredients are the au jus and spicy mustard. Mmm, yummy.
Mmm.
So you take that au jus, which is what? Just drippings, I guess. And you dip it in there, and it is one tasty way to fly, huh?
I would have a French dip every week. I could.
Well.
You know who has a good French dip?
Help me.
Doodah Diner.
Doodah?
Oh, it's so good.
Got a lot of good food in it. No doubt about it.
And Panera now has a French dip, which I'm itching to try.
There you go. Mm. All right. Today's the day, I guess. 7:55, Steve and Ted coming up in the 8 o'clock hour with Steve and Ted this morning. We got special things covered and offered for you today, including, as we mentioned, the Fox News Radio's Tanya J. Powers will be with us. Got the latest on the killing of five men in South Wichita. Nasty, nasty story that. Ted has sports on the way, right, Ted?
Oh, now I'm thinking about a French dip from Barnard's. I mean, okay, I got to. Let's see. Sports.
Yeah.
Hey, big game for KU men's basketball tonight, so we'll preview that one coming up in sports.
Plus Entertainment News, The Blur will be coming along.
Yeah, we got some interesting factoids coming your way. Entertainment News in The Blur, and that'll be at 8:35 this morning.
And we have back-to-work traffic and weather in the 8 o'clock hour with Steve and Ted on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS.